Hey, it's KJ. Our guided blueprint for a book challenge was such a hit this past summer that we're going to run it again in January. Plus, we're adding even more interactive elements so you can connect with other writers. It is a great way to start or refine a book idea, get some professional guidance from our author accelerator coaches, and stay motivated to do the hard work of thinking before you write, which I hate and also love at the same time. Whether you're writing fiction, nonfiction, or memoir, this challenge could be just the thing you need. We will be launching in early January, so stay tuned to these podcasts for all the details. Check the show notes and make sure that you are a supporter of the #MWritingPodcast so that when it comes to January, you'll be ready to go.
Is it recording?
Now it's recording.
Yay!
Go ahead.
This is the part where I stare blankly at the microphone. Try to remember what I'm supposed to be doing.
All right, let's start over.
Awkward pause.
I'm going to wrestle some papers.
Okay.
Now 1, 2, 3. Okay.
Hey, this is Jenny Nash, and this is a special mini episode to let you know about the Blueprint Challenge we have coming up in January. It's for anyone who's starting a new project in any genre. For the price of a podcast subscription, you'll get 10 special podcast episodes, the chance to ask anything of a team of Author Accelerator certified coaches, write-alongs to write along with other folks doing the challenge, and the support of a community of writers all doing the same thing. It's a great way to start the new year. Joining me and KJ on this episode today is novelist Allison Hammer. During the day, Allison is an SVP creative director at an advertising agency in Chicago, but on nights and weekends, you can find her writing upmarket women's fiction. She's the author of You and Me and Us and Little Pieces of Me, both from William Morrow, and she's also half of the writing duo Allie Brady. Their first two books, The Beach Trap and The Comeback Summer, were published by Berkeley, and their most recent book, Camp People, was a USA Today bestseller. Allison is a super fan of the Blueprint, as you'll hear, and it's fun to hear her talk about how she's used it in her career.
Hey, I'm KJ Dell'Antonia, and this is #AmWriting, the podcast about writing all the things. Short things, long things, fiction, nonfiction. We are the podcast about sitting down and getting your work done. I'm going to go ahead and introduce myself because we're doing things a little bit differently today. I am the author of The Chicken Sisters, In Her Boots, and Playing the Witch Card, as well as the former editor and lead writer of The Motherlode at the New York Times. That's my nonfiction cred. And I've got one co-host today and a guest we're very excited about. So Jenny, take it away.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jenny Nash. I'm the founder and CEO of Author Accelerator. We're a company on a mission to lead the emerging book coaching industry. And we recently certified our 300th book coach, which is something. And I am super excited today to have with us Allison Hammer, who is a repeat guest on the #AmWritingPodcast. So she's a friend of the pod, as we might say, and we're here to talk about some very specific things, but welcome, Allison.
Thank you. I'm a friend of the pod and a big fan of the pod. So it is an honor to be here.
A friend and a fan. We should have t-shirts made. So what we're here to talk about coming up again is our blueprint, what do we call this? Our blueprint thing that we do, where we walk listeners through creating their own blueprint. And the blueprint is a thing that I made, a tool that I made to help writers get their ideas out of their head and onto the page. And we're talking to Allison today because she has been a fan of the tool that's at the heart of the blueprint for some time now, and we want to hear about that. So the tool at the heart of the blueprint is called the Inside Outline, and it's a specific kind of outline that I know KJ has done and wrestles with, and Allison has done and wrestled with. It's a simple tool, but not an easy tool. So Allison, you want to tell us how you first learned about this tool?
Yes. So I discovered the tool and met Jenny at the Women's Fiction Writers Association conference in like 2018 or 19. It's been a long time. And we had a, she was giving the presentation, and you know, there's to me, there's two parts of it. There's the one page summary, which is very helpful to me. I start every single project that I ever do with that. And then there's the actual outline. And with the summary, doing that two different times, I realized that my book was not about what I thought it was about. And so that was just a really helpful tool to just boil down and make sure that I know what I'm talking about on the highest level. For the actual inside outline, or you call it the blueprint now, you know, one of my the pieces of writing feedback that I hate the most is that this is not moving the story forward. And I'm like, but it's beautiful, but there's this happens, or things like that. And my favorite thing about the, what should I call it? The inside outline or the blueprint?
So it's funny because you're actually mistaking, you're mistaking the name change. So the blueprint is the whole tool and the inside outline is the outline tool, but the that used to be called the two-tier outline. That's what changed. And what's funny about that is KJ is the one who came up with the name of the inside outline. I don't know if you know that, KJ, but it's
no, I knew.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember you were trying. So the inside outline is a part of the blueprint. So yes. As you go through the whole blueprint exercise, the inside outline is kind of like the culmination of all the work. And, you know, the moment when you realize that the work that you thought you did isn't good enough. Yay. We love that. It's a loathsome little beast, isn't it?
It is. So I call it the inside outline. And again, that the piece of writing feedback that I hate getting is that it doesn't move the story forward. And it would happen to me a lot. And I got really, really mad because I would fall in love, you know, with the prose, which KJ, I know you talk about not to do, but I would fall in love with it. And so with this tool, I don't have that problem anymore because everything I do, there's a reason for it. So for me, I used to call myself a plotzer, like kind of like a plotter and a pantser, and it sounds Yiddish, so I liked it. But I would, my idea of plotting is I would write like almost a synopsis, like a play-by-play of what was going to happen. And then that was it. But once I met Jenny and discovered the tool, you know, let me take a step back. So in addition to my own writing projects, I'm half of the writing duo Allie Brady. And the Brady half of my writing duo, her mind, she's a doctor, is I'm fascinated by it, works completely different than mine. And so when she looks at an outline, she's like, this has to happen at 25%. This has to happen at 50%. That's at 75%. And if I try to think about that, my brain literally breaks. Like, I'm happy she has that for that. But for me, and I think the two tools, the two ways of thinking can work together. Because the thing that I love, the way I explain it to people, and Jenny, I don't know if I got this from you or if it was just my how I thought about it. I think about the inside outline as paper, the little paper ringed, like that would go around Christmas trees, or, you know, the little paper chains where you would make the rings and connect them. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Totally. Yeah. I'm fascinated because you did not get that from me, but what okay. is it?
So the way that I've thought about it is that everything has to connect, like that little paper ring, to something else. It doesn't have to connect to the thing right after it. It could connect to something down the line, or even like a crime scene thing where you've got all the different, you know, red pieces of string. But because of that, I know that everything I have in there is has a reason for being there. Another piece of advice that I got from you, I'm a huge Jenny Nash fan, if you couldn't tell, is the question, the two-word question, and so.
Yeah.
And there's been a few times where I've kind of been like, okay, and so. One time was in my second novel, Little Pieces of Me. I had two characters having a conversation at a party. And like, I was just like, what would they talk about in 1974? And just like had something in there. And I'm like, not Jenny would say, and so like that has to, if it's going to be there, it has to have a reason for being there. So I ended up being able to have a conversation that on the surface felt like a conversation, but the layers of it had to do with the things that the characters were dealing with and that would connect later. And so all of these different things, to me, make the story structure stronger, so you don't have that oh shit moment where you realize that something doesn't work and you have to take it all apart again.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I'll have like a brilliant idea, like, Ooh, what if the character was super into Pokemon and like every chapter they were talking about a different Pokemon? And then I will think, well, okay, but those Pokemon have to have something to do with the story. Like, you can't just pick the cutest. Yeah. You have to pick one who's like, you know, superpower is, or, you know, whose way of kill anyway. Like, there would have to be a reason for them. And you can get that, I guess, in other places, but the outline really forces you to make sure that your Pokemon are there for a reason.
Totally. And there was one in particular. This is a work in progress that I've had for years, and hopefully one day it will emerge again. But Jenny looked at my inside outline, and one of the beginning scenes, they had a character finding out he had a peanut allergy. And Jenny was like, I hope this comes back again. And it didn't. But then it did in the end, and it ended up making total sense and being perfect for what it is. So it also helps because you can't necessarily have someone read your whole book, but if they can look at that outline, then they can maybe try and identify things. And so the biggest tool that I use the outline for, and the thing that I love, is starting each little section. And I do mine like a little bit of a rogue way. Mine's not short. It's like I have one for every single chapter, so it can be many pages long. But I start each thing with because. And to me, that's that link. So because this happened, or because she thinks this, then that is happening. And that thought process and that pause of like, where is this connecting back to? It just helps. And I can't tell you the last time I heard it's not moving the story forward, which again, I hated hearing.
That's amazing. Well, we should probably explain what we mean by inside outline and what used to be called the two-tier outline. But the reason I made this tool was I was so tired as a book coach of seeing manuscripts that had incredible plots and they really cool story ideas, and the plot was jazzy and it sort of moved along and everything was great, but there was no there was no story there. There was no emotion there. It was not tied to anything. And so the idea of tying the plot or what we see to the story or what's happening underneath it, what we're really reading for. And I was trying to find a way to help writers make sure those two things are always there and connected. And I didn't know of anything else that did that. There are a lot of really great plot story structure methods. And one of the things I'm most proud of about the inside outline and the blueprint as a whole is that it plays really nicely with all other kinds of thinking and plotting. You don't have to just use this tool if you love Save the Cat or you love StoryGrid or you love Story
the
Genius.
25, 50, 75 that Brady does.
Totally. Yeah.
And it didn't make any difference. It all works.
But I think that there's some of those things like Save the Cat, you know, and all the other things help you high level. Like this is like, these are the beats, the big beats that you want to get, but this helps you get from one beat to the next. And so I think that, again, it works on a chapter level, on a scene level, on an emotional level, and just making sure that the story works and you don't go down a path that doesn't belong. Or if you discover a path, then you connect it later and there's a reason for it being there.
Yeah. So KJ, I know you called it, what did you call it? A nasty little beast of a tool.
it really is, because, you know, I go off on tangents, and I'm just like, my characters can just talk about anything for hours. And this, when it always kills me is when I apply it to something that I have already written. So I'll, you know, create it, but I kind of give myself a little bit of a pass and I do it a little too loosely. And then when I come back, I often realize that I, you know, have not had things stay as connected and as tightly as I would have liked. And so it works there too. You know, it works in revision. And whether I will get better at that or whether that's just kind of the nature of the beast, I really can't answer. But, you know, when you're going back and you're revising, that's when you sometimes, or it'll help you realize things are out of order. Mm-hmm.
It was really funny. I was just talking this morning to someone I think we all know, Dan Blank, and I hope I'm not betraying anything, but he's working on a project. I'm not even going to tell you what genre it is. And he's using my blueprint, which he's never done. So he's new to it. And he called me and he said, "You're very bossy in this book. If there are all these rules and you keep talking about not cheating," and he's like, "and I don't like it." And he said, just like you, KJ, "and I'm not going to do it." And I said, "Well, then I'm not going to look at it, because the whole point of these constraints, I think creativity thrives within constraints. If we force ourselves to only do a 3-page inside outline or only write 250-word summary of the book, it forces you to choose. And obviously writing is about getting better at choosing and at decision making. And so the bossy nature of it is there for a reason. But that being said, I do hear a lot of people don't follow those rules and adapt it in their own way, and they still find it useful. So
I think it's a different thing. I think that the 2 or 3 pages thing will help you get a synopsis, like that these are the beats of the story, that those are the big things. But it also works on the scene by scene and chapter by chapter level. And so I think that it's and both, because the way that you're talking about it is looking at an entire manuscript and boiling it down to make sure that it's focused and doing what it's supposed to do. How I use it with my like 30, 40 page version is like a chapter by chapter guide to make sure it all belongs. So I think it can be both.
I find that if I can't boil a chapter down to May reveals the frozen biscuits because she's angry that Amanda told X, then the chapter's too long. And mm-hmm. I mean, even if other stuff happens, like, you know, even if it's like, and, you know, but that's okay. But the core that's sort of threading through it, if I can't boil that down to this happens because of this emotional reason, then it's not ready yet.
The one thing I do for that is, you know how the Friends episodes are all the one where?
Yeah.
And so I try to do that with my chapters. It's like, this is the one where, because again, sometimes the chapters are just too long if there's like 4 things happening in it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's fun. I can't remember the answer to this, Allison, but you and I did a podcast, which we will link to in the show notes, about this incredible experience that you and Brady had with the your mm-hmm. last book, where you had to rewrite the whole thing in 30 days. And
I don't know if I'd call that incredible experience.
Oh my gosh, I just loved that episode and how you all talked about that. I'm curious. So just a really high level, the editor of a publishing company asked them to change the genre with 30 days to go before pub date, and they did. And
the deadline.
It was largely on the character that Allison was writing. So you had to do all that work. Did you use this method you're talking about in that? This chapter by chapter using an inside outline method there? I can't remember if you did or not.
I may have. I did it when I did it when we were first drafting the book.
Got it.
I'm trying to think that most of the things were revisions, and I probably thought back to, now you're almost in my head, which is wonderful, but like, now, you know, I think the more you use a tool, it becomes more part of the way you think. So at that level, we had 30 days, and, you know, it was, what does this chapter have to do differently, or things like that. So I think I did it in an unofficial way, but it's become a part, because that I did that with my second book, and now we're getting ready to have my 6th book published. So I've done that for math is hard, 4 books. And even the 3 or 4 manuscripts I have that are in a drawer, I use it. So it's just part of my process now. And well, another thing.
My favorite part of this is I've never coached Allison. I think I looked at it one inside outline one time, or a blueprint maybe one time, but the fact that you can learn all that from from a book and from using a tool is really excellent. And I think that goes very directly into what we're offering, KJ, which maybe you could talk a little bit about, because it's the chance to learn this tool, get some coaching around this tool, and maybe learn something that will help you.
So this is going to be the third time that we've run the blueprint within the podcast community. And we're really excited because this time it's, you know, it gets bigger and better every time. So the first time it was us and it was some podcasts, and you could get the book and you could kind of play along. And the second time we had some coaches and we had it Ask Me Anythings, and we had a little bit more of a cohort. And this time the coaches that we worked with have said, let's get some more hands on, you know, let's get even more, give us more of a chance to interact with the people who are doing the blueprint. So starting in January, on January 6th, which is a date that is a date, it happens, maybe it's the 7th. Anyway, it's the Tuesday after New Year's. We're going to start, and every week we're going to run through a step of the blueprint, and there's going to be so much more handholding available to people who are doing the blueprint. And all you have to be is a supporter of the podcast. It's not, there's no extra fee. It's not quite free to play along, but it's pretty darn close. And I think it's going to be a really fun way to start the new year. And I might even be rolling along and doing a blueprint myself as I look at where I am and what I'm doing. So that would be really cool.
That would be cool. And there are blueprints and learnings and exercises and trainings for mm-hmm. So Allison Writes Fiction. We've been talking about fiction, but there's also a memoir blueprint and a nonfiction blueprint. And we have coaches who are certified in all those things who are going to be helping. And they loved doing the Ask Me Anythings, but also write-alongs where you come on yep. and everybody writes together. And that was really fun. And they want to be doing those. So there's a lot of ways to get involved. If you have an idea and you're ready to pin it to the page, we would love to have you come join us.
Yep. I think it's going to be a really good way to start the year.
Indeed.
Which we need.
Okay. Indeed. So we want to thank Allison for just coming to chat about your process and your books and your love of this tool. It makes me so happy. And I think people can hear in your voice how much you love this part of the work.
It is genuine. Can I tell you one more tip that I use?
Please.
So most of my stuff is multi-POV. And so one thing I do with my inside outline is I make each text block a different color for the different characters so that Ooh. I can see that, like, just to use this, the one we're working on now, Josie is one color and Ryan is another. So I can quickly tell who's who and look at their own journeys. And it helps just make it a little bit more organized for my brain.
I think you're the first person I ever saw do that. And you did it with a four person POV yeah. novel. Which novel was that?
That's the one that has been in the drawer. It's called the entourage, however you say it. So yeah. Hopefully one day, the pandemic derailed me a little bit on my solo stuff, but hopefully one day that will come to life.
I remember this book now. It's amazing.
I think so too. I hope that there will be, it will come out one day.
Well, hope lives eternal in all the writers, right? We just keep yes. hoping. Except for KJ right now.
Yeah.
Well, KJ, maybe you can close us out, and we'll put the links to the blueprint and what you have to do to join in the show notes. And we would really love to have folks come right along with us.
Absolutely. And you should check out the books of both Allison Hammer and Allie Brady. They are super fun. And we'll put some links to those in the show notes as well. Allison, if anybody wants to sort of follow you and see what you're doing, where can they best do that?
For me personally, it's This Hammer, not That Hammer, but This Hammer on all of the social media platforms. And Allie Brady, we're Allie, Alibrady Books.
Cool. Perfect. All right. Well, come join us for the blueprint, but until you do, keep your butt in the chair and your head in the game.
The Hashtag AmWriting podcast is produced by Andrew Perella. Our intro music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and played by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their time and their creative output because everyone deserves to be paid for their work.
Pause, stop, stall.
Thank you.